things that are important to me, I say over and over, and sometimes I oversay something to the point where I'm afraid it loses its meaning. But I'm so thankful to have each of you here with us, and certainly under the weather conditions, I know any one of you could have had a reasonable excuse. Somebody could have held it against you if you felt like it had been too much of an effort to come out this morning. But what a great blessing it's already been for us this morning, and trust that the Lord will continue with us here in this place. We were really blessed in our services last night, and trust that the Lord would continue with us with His felt presence. As I said, there's a lot of preparation that goes into planning a meeting and hoping for the best, but what a difference the Spirit makes. And that's the one thing we cannot direct, and we're left truly at the mercy, but also at the grace of God in terms of the felt presence of His Spirit. We certainly don't deserve it, but what a blessing it is, and how richly we are partaker of that blessing when the Spirit is here with us. So glad to see the brothers and sisters of our sister churches here with us, the ministry, and each visitor and member that's here with us. We thank you and warmly welcome you, and hope that you're made to feel welcome and come and be with us anytime. I know the feeling crosses probably the mind of any moderator when you look at a special meeting and just wish it looked like this every Sunday morning. What a blessing it would be. And it would be all right. I just want to clarify. It would be all right with me if you all come back every Sunday. Just in case you're wondering, it would be fine with us if you all forsook your regular commitments and were here. But I know that's not possible. But we're thankful that you're able to be here with us this morning. And trust has already been manifest in our song service that you come with a spirit and a desire to serve God. And what a blessing it is for us to be lifted up that way. I, way of beginning, just want to read a passage of Scripture here in Titus. It says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested His word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. And there in just a few verses you can see the eternalness of God, a God who promised before the foundation of the world concerning what would happen after this world's wrapped up. And yet we're not left just with a God who worked before and who will work after, a God who promises for life to come. It says, but hath in due times. And that's right here where we live. We're between the promise of God and its fulfillment. And what we found is there's so many promises in between. And the fulfillment of those promises is daily. Hath in the due times manifested His word through preaching. And the acknowledgement of the truth is after godliness. If we've got a God who can promise before the foundation of the world concerning the end of the world and make provision for us right here, that word is after godliness. So what we know about Him, we also have to know about His word. That we had His word from before the foundation of the world. We know His word will endure beyond this world. But what a blessing it is we have His word right now in this due time, manifested, revealed by His Spirit unto us. It's a great blessing. One I fear I don't count as often as I should. But among our blessings this morning, we have many blessed gifts, I believe, with us this morning. I've asked Elder Anthony Blevins to go first this morning, followed by Elder Bill Walden. And I know that you care for these brethren and will have a mind to pray for them, that the Lord will give them a liberty this morning. It's a sweet privilege for me to have fellowship with these two brethren and to extend them the opportunity this morning to speak unto you. And I'm so thankful for the opportunity that we have to have them and to be here this morning. I'd like to ask Elder Mike Rogers to lead us in prayer this morning as we continue to give thanks for the blessings that the Lord has made possible and showered upon us this morning, and to ask on the behalf of these two.
Dear Father, as we approach Thee at this time, as we've congregated together, we're thankful, Father, for the multitudes of blessings which Thou hast bestowed upon us. And Father, just as Thou hast sent the natural showers down today, we ask, Father, that Thou would indeed shower blessings upon us during this service. Father, we acknowledge that Thou art the great Almighty Sovereign God who has created all things, and it is within thy power to bless or to withhold blessings. And Father, we pray and beseech that thou would bless us today with a portion of thy spirit, so that we might say when we have left this place that indeed we have been in thy presence. Father, we trust that we have come into thy presence this morning with singing and with thanksgiving. We trust and pray, Father, that thou hast been pleased with the song service as we have been uplifted singing the songs of Zion. We ask, Father, that thou would indeed be merciful unto us. We ask particularly, Father, that thou would be gracious unto these two brethren who will come to proclaim thy word to us today. We ask that thou would place a message upon their heart, and that they would speak the message which thou hast particularly prepared for us in this due time. We ask, Father, that thou would forgive us of our sins, as we so well know, Father, we fall so far short of thy glory, and that we are not worthy of even the least of thy blessings, but yet, Father, we also are thankful in thee and rejoice in the thought that through the blood of thy Son, Jesus Christ, that we have been saved and been brought into a family relationship with thee. And we ask, Father, that thou would be merciful and gracious unto us at this time, forgiving us of our sins and helping us, Father, in the areas where we are so weak, so that we might be strengthened in the power of thy might. And Lord, we ask that thou would bless those who are unable to be here today for whatever reason, that they would also feel thy presence, even though they may not be able to congregate with us this morning, that they may feel thy presence in their lives as well. We ask particularly for those who are in uniform and fighting the wars across the seas, that thou would be gracious unto them and protect them. And Lord, if it is thy will to bring them home safely, and if not, Father, to comfort their families. And Lord, we ask that thou would guide the leaders of this land and the nations across this globe, that they may seek thy face and to do thy will. Help us, Father, to always look unto thee, who is the author and finisher of our faith and from whence our help cometh. We ask, Father, that thou would give to each and every one of us each day that daily bread which we need to sustain us, that manna from on high, as we go through this life. These things we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
I ask if you would kindly continue to pray for us this morning. And we hope that the Lord would continue to be with us. If sometimes we look at ourselves and we see nothing yet less than nothing. When we stand before God and His people, to the best of our abilities, as God has given us an ability to speak His truth, that is our aim, to tell the truth. Not that you would not already know the essence of truth, but that you might be reminded again and again and again of the sweetness of God. And every time we hear the old Baptists come together, I feel like if I didn't hear about how that God absolutely loved us before the foundation of the world, and that He predestinated us unto the glory of His precious and dear Son, I don't feel like I've been to church. But I want you to know that if we preach Jesus, we continue to focus our eyes on Jesus Christ and all that He is to us, our hearts will sing praises unto Him. May God help us. That's the only thing I can say. God help us. Without the Spirit, we can't preach, we can't sing, we can't teach. We can't even teach the Word of God the way it ought to be taught. You have a good shepherd. He's not a hireling. He's a good shepherd. He knows his flock. There's a seal that God knoweth them that are his. The good shepherd is one who will gather his sheep around. When he calls, they come. You see, the Lord God loved you so much. And he could have done it just in any way he desired to do it. He could have known you, of course, before the foundation of the world. And you didn't know anything about it till you got there. When you conformed to the image of his son. But here in this old time world where we are often racked with pain and troubles, the Lord Jesus Christ stands as a good shepherd and says, come to me. If you go to the rest of the world to look for what the Lord has, you're not going to find it. It's not there. The Lord himself hath given us gifts of understanding, gifts that he himself calls and not men. And I would like to talk to you a little bit, if I can, to remind you once again that during perilous times, as the Apostle Paul told Timothy, there was a reason for Paul telling Timothy that perilous times shall come. And it comes to the house of God. He's not talking about the world. He's talking about the perilous times of the world infringing on the church. This was the reason that he spoke to Timothy, that he might war a good warfare, because sometimes it's necessary that we stand in defense of the gospel. I'm not the defender of the gospel, but that gospel is the only defense I have. It speaks for itself. And the Lord Jesus Christ speaks. And he said here, let me start in the 12th verse of the 10th chapter of John. And back up a little farther. That's not far enough up. Well, maybe I ought to have to go front, but I don't want to. In the 7th verse, we'll pick up there where it says, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Did you see why the Lord would say, no man entereth except by me? I am the door of the sheep. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. We're talking about not a natural thief, but a thief with principalities and powers, and principles of this old world. Those are the things that harm us in time. Oh, we're secured, and that's a sweet and blessed thought, that we are absolutely secured in Christ and always have been. You see, many would think that we at one time was bound for a devil's hell. God can't predestinate something over there before the world was and then it not come to pass. But I'll tell you in what you deserve. You deserved the burning hell. That's what you deserved. You deserved the lake of fire. You deserved it. But you didn't get what you deserved. Lord knows I hadn't got what I deserved. Such a sinful man as I see myself to be, at times I recognize it. I don't know how this good shepherd could have loved me at all. Mean, Lindsay. But I thank God for that little song that says, God is able to save even the meanest of his sheep. And he does. Not only in an eternal sense, but here in time, he sends the sweet spirit of the word of truth. And that reminds me, Lindsay, the spirit reminds me of who I am before God. And those are the sweetest moments of time in my life, is when the Lord enables me to recognize that once again I have a good shepherd. No matter what befalls me, no matter what tries to hurt me, flesh, principalities, or powers, that Jesus Christ loves me. Romans 8 tells us that. And Paul was persuaded of that. Says here, but he says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He gave his life. Apostle Paul talks about this love between a husband and a wife. That a man ought to love his wife enough to die for her. Can you believe that? Also that the wife was to love her husband. To lay her life down for her husband. This is what's called being subject to one to another. Christ is subject to you because he loves you. You are his subject. Your welfare is his concern and his alone, and he'll see you through. You won't do it yourself. The Lord will see you through, no matter what kind of trouble it is. Somebody says, oh, that's just wishful thinking. I'm going to tell you that good shepherd is always a good shepherd. He never leaves his flock like a hireling would. A hireling would leave the flock. He says that here. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, let me take these off. I can't see good with them. Whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep. That's not the kind of Savior you got. He's using that as in a contrast. A contrast between the good shepherd and one who's just a hireling. We can apply that in this day and time. Right here in the church. You don't look to the preacher. They're fallible. But you look beyond that. You look and see what the Lord has for them to say to you. And see Jesus. Jesus Christ, Him crucified. What the Lord does, He does for you. Ain't got anybody else to do it with, Hewlin, but us. He's ours. We're His. And by covenant, we are as one in Him. Christ says, I in the Father, Father in me, and you in me. We are as one by covenant. But we see here that the good shepherd, he gathers his chickens. He does gather his chickens here in time. You remember he cried about some chicken, little chickens, because they would not. He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would have gathered you together. As a mother hen doth gather her chickens, and ye would not. This is talking about by obedience. It's not talking about them coming whether they're born again or not. I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about them that he preached to, and they knew what he was talking about. They did know. There was many of those people knew what he was talking about and would not. The leaders especially.
He says, you're not of my, you don't understand my words because you don't understand my speech.
That's because you're not of my Father. You're of your father, the devil.
There's many of them. And it, just like there is today, it's no different then than it is today. That there's a lot of folks out here looking for the truth, and I still believe it. I said it at my ordination. I believe it now, that this is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ manifested in the world, and that it is the closest to being the truth as I've ever seen. Because the truth, I believe, is taught. Am I bad-mouthing people? No, I'm not bad-mouthing people, but I'll tell you what, I will surely bad-mouth the principalities and the powers. Why is that? Because the gospel is the defense of it. From it, that is. Now, let's look on a little farther. He says, the hireling fleeth because he is just, he's just a hireling. And careth not for the sheep. You see the beautiful picture he's giving? I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. How many sheep is there? As I heard this a long time ago, as many as the Father gave me. How many did he die for? As many as the Father gave me. How many is that? As many as he had. No more, no less. He knows his flock. He knows your every care. He knows your pains. He knows those infirmities which you carry about in your bodies. He knows all these things about you and knows how to feed you the right kind of food. Sometimes we look to men to straighten out all our problems. But you see, men can, they may bear your burden in a spiritual sense of the word. They can bear your burden, but every man's got to bear his own. And Jesus Christ is the only one that can make that burden light. When we forget to pray, as I often do, many times, I forget, Lord, forgive me, help me. Many times I go into something on my own and I get so frustrated and frustrated with everything and get so out of shape and bent up. I'm telling y'all my nature. Patience, about that long. I don't have much. But God helps me with that. I know He does because there's plenty of time when I exercise it and I thought, wow, that's me. When it didn't bother me so bad. Listen, the good shepherd brings us together. He brings you into a relationship. He speaks to you. He talks to you. He intercedes for you with a spirit by the Holy Spirit. He intercedes for you with groanings which cannot be uttered. Our hearts are sometimes filled cold. That song we sang, Lord, I believe. Lord, help my unbelief. Brother Blemings, you can't do it. You can't help me with my unbelief, but my God can. Lord, I believe. Lord, help my unbelief. Draw me near. Draw me close. Take me in thy hands. Oh, the difference in the world. There's such a difference in the world. In that world when that happens. And I believe it's the prompting of the Holy Spirit that He never forgets me. He says, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. That's how much He loved you. When we find that He laid down His life, what was He doing? It was in fulfillment. In a fulfillment
of that council, which God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost had before the world ever was. He was fulfilling that which was needful according to the justice of God. It was required. A sacrifice had to be made. A man couldn't do it. A mortal man could not do it. But God prepared Himself a sacrifice. Amen. And He, not in it, not it as in it, its body. He, Jesus Christ, was a living man. And yea, He was barely living God. He is both the deity of Christ, the deity of the Son of God, could not be touched by a human hand. But the Son of Man bore the pain. Can we see that? Can we see that Jesus Christ, the flesh, bore the pain, the suffering? But the deity of Christ, the very deity, the Son of God, no human hand can touch. But I want you to realize this morning, that man, and it's been said, and I've got to say it, Jesus Christ laid His life down for the sheep, and that's it. Man didn't help Him, Brother Hewlin, in redemption. Man did not help Him accomplish that which God sent His Son into the world to do. Nobody helped Him do that. It wouldn't have been a sacrifice. It would have been you sacrificing and me sacrificing, and that's just as bad as saying the Lord did His part and I did mine. And that's my point. The good shepherd always does his part, whether I'm doing anything or not. He never forgets what you need. He says, "And other sheep have I, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again." If I told you about the Lord Jesus Christ being made a sacrifice to fulfill the justice of God, those things that you and I justly deserve, and that He went to the cross of Calvary, that He bled, He suffered. But you know what? He loved you even to death. Beautiful. He suffered at the hands of men. That body was racked. But the point I want to make is, He wasn't going to die till He said it was time. When He said it's finished, when He said other things, there were several things. I believe Brother Hewlin wrote something one time about six things or something like that. I don't remember exactly. But I'll tell you what, when He said it's done, and the Scripture bears witness that He gave up the ghost, redemption was accomplished. And I want you to know that He died of His own accord. Very simple. Because I lay my life down, or I lay down my life that I might take it again, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and here's the beauty of all the ashes. Here comes the beauty.
beauty is, and I have power to take it again. To take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father, that he might take it again, so that when they went to the tomb that third day, after the third day was accomplished, they went there and they found him gone. Thus it's fulfilled his very statement. He took it again. And he said, because I live, ye also live. Amen. I am he that was alive and was dead. And behold, I live forevermore. You see, that is the Christ. That is your good shepherd. No, nothing, nothing can destroy your shepherd. Not men, not principalities, not powers. But he was God. He is God, was God, always has been God, and will always be God. Even when the finality of our deliverance into heaven and immortal glory, he'll still be God. He's eternal, without beginning and without end. He says, in the 19th verse, it says, there was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, he hath the devil. Now, how many of you have been, you might say, people have tried to either embarrass you or cause you pain because of your belief in this good shepherd? If they did it to him, they'll do it to you. He said, that's the way you're going to know you're a disciple. If they've done it to me, you're not above me, I'm your master. But if they've done it to me, they're going to do it to you too. So take heart. Take heart. These young people have especially heart in a day like today. So many theories and problems being thrust at them from every angle. Not like my childhood and not like my father's childhood. Brother Bill, y'all know what I'm saying. That this day is a perilous time for the people of God. There's wars. We know that. We pray. We hope we pray. But you realize that there's not a thing we can do about it except pray. Somebody says, oh no, you need to get busy with it. No, listen. A sovereign God does all his will in the armies of heaven. This sovereign God who declares all things from the beginning, from ancient times, declaring all things from the beginning all the way to the end. He knows all these things. Did I say he did some things to make people bad? No, I didn't say that. But I'm going to, because you don't have to teach a man how to be bad. You don't teach a baby that. You don't teach a grown person that. They're by nature that way. We know that. I'm speaking to them that know the truth. We know that man is the dust of the earth when it comes to the glory and the power of God. So when you pray a fervent prayer to God that the wars might cease, here's the question. Do I believe or do I doubt? Am I just going to say it because somebody says I ought to? Or do I just believe it? Or do I believe it? That's the question. That's where we examine ourselves daily. Whether we be in the faith. The Good Shepherd is our teacher. The Holy Spirit reveals the Spirit of truth. He reveals truth. And Lord, 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 I love to eat on those pastures. The truth is my food. I don't know all there is to know. And I don't think I know anything or know how to tell it like it should be. But I know this, the truth is my food. I want the truth. I didn't always think I wanted the truth. Not always. But now my days seem to be filled more and more as I go along with wanting to know more about the truth before I die. Before I go to glory. Not that I might appear before God. Oh yeah, he knew the truth. No, I'm not. That's not why. Because I want to eat of those green pastures, and he's my shepherd, and he takes me there, and I love it there. I begin to understand a little more as I get older, Brother Bill, why it is that people said, heaven is my home. When you're a young boy, you don't look at it like that. It's not that I would, that I should be taken out of this world by death. I don't desire to die. But I'll tell you what I do desire. I desire to look upon him and see him in ways that I've never seen him before. And if the Spirit will help us, we'll do that. But I exhort you, brethren, press on. Press on into the things, into those beautiful pastures where your Lord has plenty to eat. Trust not thine own understanding, but you lean on the Lord, you lean on the Lord's understanding, and he'll guide your path. I want to close with this over here about the power of the shepherd. In the 11th chapter of John, the Lord Jesus Christ has delayed his coming. To a friend, loved ones, he delayed his coming, and Lazarus died. And then they started telling the Lord that if he had been there a little earlier, see, this belief in the Good Shepherd, they had belief, Brother Bill, but they're kind of putting it in a wrong context here. We know that if you'd have been here, our brother would not have died. But he delayed. Why? That he might show them his power. When you get on over there a little bit farther, he says, I don't do this so you might see me. But I do this to the intent that you might see and believe. The resurrection of Lazarus, here's your power. A power that's able, that same power that enabled Jesus Christ, your shepherd, to lay down his life for his sheep. The same power took him out of the tomb and raised him again. And in the same likeness and fashion, our pastures are yonder with him. Because there's coming a time when we're going to lay it down. We're going to lay all of this down, and we're going to the tomb. And then, the same power that raised Christ will raise these bodies that were sown in corruption and corruptible, and then they shall put on incorruption. And that incorruption fit to dwell in glory. I've said this many times, and I hope I'm not wrong about it, but I don't believe Adam was ever fit for glory in his natural state. Why is that? Because it's going to be more than flesh and bone. It's going to be flesh and bone and spirit. And we're going to dwell, I believe, Lindsay, I believe it's you going to come out of the tomb. You! He knew you. He knows you now. He knows you then. Ain't a different person. You ain't going to be somebody different. He's going to take you out of there, and you're going to be incorruptible. Can you imagine that? Imagine that in your heart. What is incorruptible? Everything, Brother Healy, we look at in this world is corrupted. It's
except for the things of God. And God help me and keep me from corrupting it with my ideas. God bless you.